This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Compliments of the best bald ad agency in the history of Houston, Texas. We are coming to you live from Trailer, Wheel, and Frame. You wonder, I need something for my truck, my trailer. I need some tires. Where do I go? Well, why don't you go to the business that's been in business in Houston, Texas for over 40 years? Why do you do that? Because it's service, it's selection, and it's quality customer service. That's why you pick Trailer, Wheel, and Frame. Largest selection of parts and accessories. And like I said, in business over 40 years, everything that you need every day for your trailer, truck, SUV,
I need to pull the trigger on new steps, on a new, what are those, the step rails or whatever.
You're asking me?
Yeah, because mine just look ridiculous. The fact that I installed them wrong and they're not made for my truck and they don't fit. I just look like an idiot driving down the road. I need to pull the trigger
and get
some new ones
here.
Okay, you're right. I look like an idiot driving down the road. Also, my truck looks dumb. How about that? Yeah, that's point taken. You are correct in that assessment, sir.
So we left off, and we'll get to some news to Phil Jackson, who, by the way, had his contract renewed on an option for two more years. Surprising with the Knicks?
Yeah, very surprising.
I was shocked, and like, at $10 million a year.
I don't know. They must be desperate for attention.
I don't know, man. But
I think if I had the chance, I would have cut ties with Phil Jackson as fiscally, whenever it fiscally made sense to do so. And if
fiscally
you,
responsible decision.
Yeah, and if you – certainly renewing him for 2 years doesn't make sense, or, you know, taking those options. That seems like a stretch to me. You should have already been interviewing new folks for that.
So on top of that, he has his State of the Knicks post-regular season, because, of course, they're not in the playoffs, press conference. They asked him about Carmelo Anthony. His quote, "I think the direction with our team is that he would be better off somewhere else." The honeymoon's over, although he has a no trade, I believe. So that's going to be where you're going to send Carmelo where he wants to go. But it seems like days are numbered with Melo in the Big Apple. That will be an interesting scenario to keep an eye on.
Word. All right.
Let's go to the Eastern Conference first.
Well, let's just do the West. Let's go through who we have in the Western Conference Finals and who wins. So I'll let you go first.
I got Spurs, Warriors. I got Warriors in seven.
Okay. I'll go. Yeah, I have Warriors, Spurs as well. I'll go Warriors in six.
Okay. That's what I was fighting between six
and
seven. But
I'll go Warriors in six.
Yeah, I'll agree with Barry. Warriors in six in the Western Conference Finals. They'll play the Spurs.
Damn it, Nick. Stop looking over his shoulder.
Over the Spurs, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I didn't know maybe you had the Rockets there.
No. I expect the Spurs to bounce the Rockets in the second round.
Okay. All right, Eastern Conference now.
Eastern Conference. One seed, Boston Celtics.
Versus the number 8 seed Bulls. Who you got? How many games?
That's a good series. That's a better series than people think.
You know, it really is. Well, go ahead. Who you got?
Celtics and six.
Damn, that's what I have. Celtics and six as well.
I think it's going to be a closer series than people think. Nick, what do you got?
Celtics and six. I think Boston will win. I don't think it'll be that close.
Okay. Cavs, Pacers?
Boy, our boy Tass loves him some Paul George playoffs.
He does, and I don't know why.
I don't think that there's any chance. Indiana was just an all-and-out mess late in the year.
Yep.
I'll take Cleveland in four.
Okay. I have Cleveland in five.
All right.
Nick?
I'm looking at your screen. Cleveland in five. I don't think they're using Paul George correctly. I think they could have done better with roster changes. I don't know what. I'm not an expert, but I just think they could have done better with some roster moves considering how talented Paul George is.
I think if
is.
You want to keep him, you should have put better to your point, Nick. I think if you want to keep him, you should have put more talent around him.
100%.
And signing Lance Stephenson to ridiculous money.
Just to go around and blow people's ears?
Or or put
no
in
sense.
Layups when you're up 12 with 3 seconds to play just to get under the skin of the Raptors.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not for that at all. So we'll see what happens, but I think Indiana's a mess. I think Larry Bird's got a real challenge on his hands, and I don't think the Cavaliers are going to have a problem with him.
All right, Raptors-Bucks.
Another good series. Milwaukee, without Jabari Parker, I don't think helps them at all. I think Toronto's trying to get well on the fly, but with all those pieces, they definitely get through the first round. They beat Milwaukee, I will say, in five.
Yep, I have the Raptors in five as well.
See, and again,
even if Kyle Lowry's just coming back, I'm not worried about that.
All you'd have to say is great minds think alike, but you're always thinking that I'm cheating off of your screen. See,
well, I would never suggest that our minds are great or that we think alike,
because
neither of those are true.
I think we've proven our minds are greater than most of the people that chime in on this show.
Nick, who you got?
I'm going to say in six, Toronto.
Okay.
I mean, you can only pick either, you know, in four games, five games, or six games, unless it goes seven. But, I mean, it's not like there's only like three main choices that you're going to get, because most times you're not going to say in seven
somebody's games. Somebody's going to win a game.
Well, neither one of you guys have said a team in seven games. That's what I'm trying to say.
I did.
Yeah, we did.
Over how many picks?
I said, I said Golden State San Antonio would go seven.
Yeah.
That's it. Out of the what? 10?
Well, Nick, the first round traditionally.
Eight games, Nick.
You don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just one time that you pick seven games. I just don't think, for the most part, what I meant to say is you're either going to pick four, five, or six. You're not going to pick seven in most cases.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. How many times did you guys pick seven?
I said Clippers in seven.
Yeah.
In most cases.
In the 4-5 matchup.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so who you got in the Wizards-Hawks?
I'm going to go with the Wizards. I think Jeff Teague was a bigger loss than you think to Atlanta when he went to Indiana. I think that was a huge
loss. How many games, Nick?
How many games?
Five games.
Okay.
I'm gonna take Washington in six.
Okay.
All right.
I've got the Wizards in seven, Nick. Seven games.
Sure. You probably
Wizards
just said that
in
right
seven.
Now.
Joel, what's written down on my screen? Tell this guy to shut up.
How many times have you picked seven?
This is the first time.
Okay. How many more do you have?
But it was already written down. Wizards and Hawks, seven games.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so who you got in the Eastern Conference Finals, Joel?
In the Eastern Conference Finals, I have the Cavaliers. I have the Toronto Raptors. I have the Celtics.
Okay.
Cavs, Celtics, and I think Cavs in six.
Okay. Nick, who you got?
Cavs, Celtics. I'll say Cavs in six.
You guys are lame. No one's picking any upsets. I mean, Nick and I picked the Jazz, but everyone else is picking the favorites in every other game other than the Jazz.
I think NBA playoffs are predictable.
I have the Celtics and the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I have the Raptors beating the Celtics and making it to the NBA Finals.
You're delusional.
Okay.
I don't think you're delusional.
Let me give you some
team in the East that could beat the Cavs. I think you're right. I think it's
the
Raptors.
Raptors.
I think they have
I think the Celtics snuck into the playoffs. As the number one seed.
I don't think you can be the number one seed and sneak in.
Yeah.
But I think that talent-wise, when you add P.J. Tucker and you add a shot blocker like Ibaka to a team that was already very, very potent and went a long way last year, I will say that Toronto is the most improved team that has the best chance to beat the Cavs, but I still don't think they will.
What I'm saying is they snuck into the one seed. Otherwise, they would have had to play the Raptors in the second round and probably would have got bounced from
them. That would have been a tough road.
So that's what I meant by snuck into the one seed. They were able to who they have to face is the Bulls and the winner of the Wizards Hawks, and I think that the Raptors to me have the Cavs. If you look at post All Star break, the Cavs are 12-15. The Raptors are 18-7. So going into this series, going into the playoffs, the hottest team in the East right now is the Raptors at 18-7.
Look, just because I didn't pick them, I'm giving you credit. I think they're the one team that can beat the
Cavs.
Well,
thank you, sir.
I also think that when you say 18-7. For Toronto post All-Star break, you say that's pretty good.
Now
you factor
without Lowry.
Kyle Lowry was out for most of those 25 games. Now you're talking about a team that played well without one of their two best players and added Ibaka and P.J. Tucker, and they're deep. So they're a team that can give the Cavs a handful, but I still think, unfortunately, because the Cavs believe they can flip a switch and run the table, but I think they'll run the table and they'll be the Eastern Conference champs.
All right. So we have the finals. Who do you have winning? You have Warriors, Cavs in the finals.
I have Warriors,
Who's
Cavs.
Who's winning?
And I believe Golden State wins.
Okay. Nick, who you have? You have Warriors, Cavs in the finals.
Warriors are going to beat the Cavs in the finals.
I have the Warriors beating the Raptors. I'm not that damn delusional.
And how many games?
We'll go six.
Okay. I would say Warriors, Cavs is going to go six.
Okay. Nick?
I'd say six, too. I think that's fair.
All right.
All right, so there you go.
There you go.
Now we'll have NBA awards season. I will not vote for Daryl Morey. But we will give you all
Hater
of our picks
in the
next.
House.
I could give it to Les Alexander. I told you that. All right, so we can get to NBA picks. If you guys want to chime in, please give us a call, 713-780-ESPN, where you can text us or you can call us. Or you can hit us up on Twitter. We are here till 4. We're the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5. I got a feeling.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick back at headquarters. Barry, Joel, Trailer, Wheel, Frame. That's where we are. Trailer, Wheel, and Frame. I-45 North in the Canino exit. If you're leaving downtown, right past Gallery Furniture. On your right-hand side, if you're coming from the Woodlands or somewhere up north, it'll be on your left. Glad you guys can figure that out. If you want the best selection of anything for your truck or trailer, it is Trailer, Wheel, and Frame. They've been here in business for 40 years, and they're not going anywhere anytime soon. So if you want service after the sale, and you need something done to your truck or trailer, stop into Trailer, Wheel, and Frame.
Hey, did I read some of these stats that I had looked up and charted?
I don't think you ever got to them.
Okay. Do you mind if I do a couple of these? Because I think folks might find a few of these kind of interesting.
Wait, you and stats? No, go ahead. Of course, go ahead.
So in the West, post All-Star break, the Warriors have the best record at 20-6. The Grizzlies have the worst record at 9-15. All right? If you're curious, your Rockets ended at 15-9. Versus the field, and that's saying so versus how they did against the rest of the teams in the playoffs, the Warriors again have the best record overall for the year at 20-6, and the Thunder have the worst record at 9-16 against playoff teams this year. And then I checked like just versus the top four. Just I wanted to see how every team fared against the top four teams in the East and the West.
Yep.
And of that, something that stood out more, the Thunder were 2-9, by the way, as the worst. And the Warriors were 8-3 at the best. But something that stood out that was kind of weird is the Spurs are 6-5 against the top four seeds in the West. And of that, their worst was against the Clippers at 1-3.
I believe it's the only season series they lost all year.
It's so surprising that the Spurs had issues with the Clippers. By going 1-3 on the year.
And, you know, you have to go through it then and you have to look at did he rest anybody?
Yeah,
did
that's
Pop
true.
Rest people
yeah.
and, you know, all that corny stuff. But
and maybe he just did that because he's scared.
Scared?
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't want to give him any secrets until the postseason.
Yeah, and then I also looked up versus each team versus their first-round opponent, which is I won't bore you with. But then I wanted to see, like, points per game and points per game allowed, who was the leaders in each mm-hmm. of these. Warriors, obviously, 115.9 points per game. Slightly better than the Rockets, who were second at 115.3. Points per game allowed, the Jazz were the best at 96.8.
Okay.
And the Rockets were the worst at 109.6. Yeah. And the least points per game was the Grizzlies. They were scoring just over 100 at 100.5.
Yeah, they're kind of limited.
Yes, a little bit. If you care about the East numbers at all, I won't read all that. But versus the field, not the Celtics, not the Cavs, and not the Raptors had the best record against the playoff teams
Washington.
In the East. The Washington Wizards went 16-10 for the best record against the playoff teams in the East. The Pacers were the worst at 8-17. And post All-Star break, as I said earlier, the Raptors are 18-7 since the All-Star break. And the worst record, you want to guess? Don't cheat. Don't
in
look.
In the East?
Yeah. Since the All-Star break. Cavaliers, 12-15.
Really?
Since the All-Star break.
I wouldn't say the worst.
But everyone's so
worst.
High on the Cavs,
yeah,
but they are 12-15 since the All-Star break.
I told you.
So if they can flip a switch, I hope they do it.
They sure do think they can.
Because they are not playing well.
No.
Going into the playoffs.
Absolutely right.
They also happen to have the best player on the planet, so that's pretty good.
You know, have you heard anything? I was going to ask you. Have you heard anything where Kyrie's all banged up?
I have not.
I have not. Salisbury mentioned that and thought it'd be a problem. I thought half the reason why they were getting all the rest they were getting late in the season was the fact that they wanted to be healthy for the playoffs, and I hadn't heard anything on Kyrie. I mean, I know Kevin Love caught an errant pass in warmups in the grill the other night. That was pretty funny. But other than that, I don't think any of their big three is hurt. I think the one thing they have going for them is the fact that they're going to be healthy come playoff time.
Yeah, that's what That I hadn't seen that, so that kind of surprised me too. I'm also catching some grief from Doc on Twitter because a couple days ago he asked me what I thought about the Raptors series, how many games it would end, because I guess he was placing a wager on the Raptors-Bucks series, and I told him six. And then while we were doing our picks, I looked at the wrong line and said five, so he was freaking out on me. But no, I do have it in six. So that's my bad, Doc. I looked at the wrong line. I looked at the Cavs line, which I have the Cavs in five.
I'll tell you this. The Greek Freak is coming. He is going to keep getting better and better. That guy has got all the talent in the world, but he doesn't have enough help right now, and they don't have any shooters.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
He is pretty good. All right, you want to do our awards?
Let's do them. You got them in order? Or I think we should probably save the big one for last.
Defensive player of the year?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the Greek Freak's in the middle of that.
Yeah? Oh, is he now?
He could be.
Okay.
All right, so where do you want to start? You want to start coach of the year?
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't think for me you look any further. We talked about it the other day on the show, but I think Mike D'Antoni, for what he's done in one season, gets coach of the year without a doubt. And the other ones, when we talked about the top five, but I put Spoelstra, Scottie Brooks, Quinn Snyder in there. And who else did I have?
I don't remember. Did you have Brad Stevens in there?
And Brad Stevens.
Okay.
Because he got the one seed in the East. Yeah.
Okay.
There's my five.
Yep. My coach of the year is Mike D'Antoni as well. In my order, I went D'Antoni, Brad Stevens, Quinn Snyder, Eric Spoelstra, Scottie Brooks. Okay. In that order.
Nick?
No question, Coach D'Antoni. You talk about someone who has an unbelievable belief in this system, and because of how much progress they made from last year, I'm picking Coach D'Antoni. I got a couple honorable mentions like Brad Stevens and Quinn Snyder, but I'm picking Mike D'Antoni. For coaching.
Word.
Okay.
Defensive player of the year?
Defensive player of the year is a good one. I think everybody's going to think, hands down, it's Kawhi Leonard. I think Draymond Green should be there every year. And I honestly believe there's two guys that people don't know enough about to put into that mix, which would be Rudy Gobert and the Greek Freak, Adetokounmpo. I'll say that the winner is Draymond Green.
Okay.
Because of his versatility. But I'll say it's a two-headed race. It's between him and Kawhi.
Yeah, I had it narrowed down to three guys, and it was really not as easy as you think, because you could make a case for Leonard, Green, and Gobert, but at the end of the day, I chose Kawhi Leonard to win Defensive Player of the Year. But like you said, I mean, you could make a case for Draymond Green easily winning the award, because I'm going on who I think should win it, but who also, there's a little bit in each of these picks who I think is going to win it. But these are who I would give it to as well. So I had to go with Leonard.
And I think,
although I think Green is probably going to win.
Yeah, when you look at the suicide lineup, when he's got to play really big, and then sometimes he gets switched off onto really small guys, he's still so athletic, but yet he can hold his own in the post. I don't think people give him enough credit for that, because they get tired of hearing his mouth.
Yeah.
Nick, who you got?
I was between Rudy Gobert and Draymond Green, but I'm gonna give it to Gobert.
You know, I like it.
I think he leads. I think he leads the league in block shots. But you talk about post presence, Joel. I mean, the guy really has.
Boy.
I mean, his defense in the restricted area is really, really good. I think a lot of centers are scared. A lot of guards are scared to go down the lane when he's in the paint. So,
everyone is scared to go in the paint.
Yeah, and it's not about the physicality. They call him the Stifle Tower for a reason. I mean, that guy blocks everything, and if he doesn't block it, he affects it. So I hear you, Nick.
I mean, yeah, he's part of why I had the Jazz advancing out of the first round. I don't think the Clippers have anything and anybody that can handle what he does. And he can change the outcome of a game.
What do you mean? You're talking about like people that can score on him or that can match up with him?
Match up with him.
Jordan is a guy, DeAndre Jordan, who's offensively limited, but
yes.
I think
he's
probably stronger than Gobert. But Gobert probably has a bigger reach advantage. But to me, that's kind of a wash. I don't think Gobert is very polished offensively either. I think he's probably better than Jordan offensively.
Yeah. Well, and that's my thing. I don't think Jordan is going to be able to go off against somebody like Gobert. He's too big. He can go off against guys his size or smaller because he is so much stronger than him. Or them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, what, we got Executive of the Year?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. What's my man's name in Toronto? Measury?
Malone gave me.
I think the two moves, getting Tucker and
that was a big move.
Getting Tucker as well as Ibaka,
yeah,
gives Toronto a lot of headway. And I think if I didn't give it to him, I would give it to Leslie Alexander.
Really?
Because I honestly believe in my heart, you guys think I'm pulling your leg or I'm doing this for the wrong reasons, but I'm telling you right now, the Rockets' turnaround was solely based on decisions the owner made. He re-engaged in this franchise. He's always been an offensive guy. He's always liked Mike D'Antoni. He made a decision that I don't think anybody else in the organization saw coming and brought in a guy that brought in a system that was tailor-made for their best player. And then not Anderson, which was everybody's pick for a long time to be the perfect fit as the stretch four for the Rockets, but the signing of Eric Gordon, which surprised a lot of people, has turned out better than anyone could have expected, and for those reasons alone.
I tell you, when they hired Mike D'Antoni, I was not happy.
Right.
I did not think that it was a good hire. And I'm being completely honest there, and I said as much. You're bringing in a guy, they already don't play defense, and now you're bringing in a guy who doesn't care, who, you know, it's going to get worse. And although they're not a great defensive team, he has made all the difference in the world on this team and putting James Harden at the point guard. So I don't agree with you on the award, but I see why. I had it down between Bob Myers and Danny Ainge. Bob Myers in Golden State, Danny Ainge in Boston. If you could go out and land Kevin Durant in the offseason, to me, you win Executive of the Year with an already stacked team. So I gave it to Bob Myers. Nick?
I'm going to give it to Danny Ainge. I mean, I don't think you get a lot of credit for progress. You know, 2 years back or 3 years back, they were a team just below 500. Then they went to a team that was definitively over 500. Then they went to a team that made it to the number one seed in the East.
Yep.
I don't think anybody gave them the number one seed ever when LeBron James moved to the East, when the East was and still is kind of considered a bad conference. So I'm going to give it up to
Great
Danny
point.
Ainge.
All right. Well, at least we all didn't agree on something for a change.
Masai Yuri is the GM at Toronto, by the way.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got the big one to get to. We've got a couple more. I don't know. I don't think we're going to probably delve into the All-NBA teams, but we'll get you a little discussion on MVP, and we'll go from there. If you want to join the show, 713-780-ESPN, where you can text us or you can hit us up on the phone lines or you can hit us up on Twitter as we're there. And normally, quite responsive, if you must know, right here, because we are the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick back at headquarters, and Barry and Joel from Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 North in the Canino exit, 40 years in business, and they are always so good when we are out here once a month to visit them. On a Friday, you guys should stop by on your way around town on a good Friday. You're probably not working, and you're looking for something for your truck or your trailer. You can find it all right here in one showroom at Trailer Wheel and Frame. All right, so where do we leave off?
What do we have left, Nick? We've got sixth man, ninth man, 12th man of the year.
No, we've got
top
man
six
of the
all
year.
NBA teams.
We're going to go three deep on the NBA teams, and we're going to do your first, second, and third all-rookie team.
Sophomore challenge lineup for next year.
We'll do the
skills.
Six.
No. Who do you think will win top five in the skills competition? Pat Bev, number one.
In a sleeper, I think it's going to be J.J. Barea. All right, let's go rookie of the year first.
I'm giving it to the process. I don't care.
Even with the short
season?
I don't care.
I think he proved that he was the best rookie in the NBA, even if he didn't play for more than 31 games.
I'm going to give you a sleeper.
Okay.
All right? And I'm going to pick him.
All right.
Malcolm Brogdon of the Milwaukee Bucks.
A Milwaukee Buck, huh?
The president.
A Milwaukee Buck.
Just telling you.
All right.
We'll see.
Nick, who you got?
I have the same. I mean, it was between him and Joel Embiid. I didn't know if I was going to not care of Joel Embiid's like short season. And ultimately, he's not on the floor. It's not his fault, but I'm not going to pick him. So Brogdon for sure. I think it's the only two, right? Isn't it between them two in terms of rookie of the year?
What's the name in Philadelphia? Saric.
Okay. Saric is rumored by a lot of people.
That was who I had
there.
Second. Yeah.
Dario Saric.
Yeah, Saric would have been my second pick. But I still think Joel Embiid proved that if he would have played a full season, he would have ran away with that award.
It
would
prove his dance skills on an operating.
It would have been no question.
Were fantastic.
So I still give it to him. 31 games or not. Don't care.
Defensive player of the year, Nick.
Defense, I'm going to go. We already did that. We did Rudy. I did Rudy Gobert.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So what do we got left?
Sixth man and most improved and MVP.
Sixth man. I don't know if there's any argument, but I think it's Eric Gordon, hands down.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I think Lou was right there until the trade. And I think the trade cost him. I did. I think it'll get him into the playoffs and it'll get him deeper and help the Rockets. But I think it hurt him. I think that's why Eric Gordon wins.
I'm going with Andre Iguodala. I'm not going with Eric Gordon. I think Iguodala did more when Durant was out than what Eric Gordon did when in the event that James Harden or the key players were out for the Rockets. So I think Iguodala is a better – I mean, it just shows the reason why they're a good team is because they're deep and they have plenty of – you know, they probably have more than one candidate for six man. So I'm going to go with Iguodala.
I like it.
You need Iguodala to make you holla?
Yeah.
All right. So what's left?
MVP. That
one that no one cares about.
You wanted,
right?
Yeah, most improved. I don't think anyone cares, but who you got for most improved, Joel?
Greek Freak.
Okay, Nick, who you got?
I was gonna pick the Greek Freak, but I'm gonna do Isaiah Thomas. He's averaging 10 more points on his than his career average this year. So
Isaiah Thomas is a good pick. I'm gonna go with who cares. I'm still not picking it. I don't care what you guys say. I'm
who
not
cares
picking,
is that a hell of a season.
I'm not picking a most improved player. I'm not doing that. Okay. I'm going who cares.
Okay.
All right. MVP. Joel, we should let you go last.
Okay.
Do you not? Do you want to go first?
Wherever you want me to go, I'll go.
Nick, you go first. Who you got? MVP.
I'm going with James Harden. He's
okay.
He did more for his team. The team he's on, what, the third or fourth best team in the league. Russell Westbrook is on the 10th best team in the league. I love Tass's point yesterday. Harden leads the second best offense in the league, while Westbrook leads the 16th best offense of the league. I pull more weight in offense when I'm grading the most valuable player. So I'm giving it to James Harden.
It is hard to argue with that point. Mm-hmm. And when you add to that the fact that it's a 3 versus a 6, and if you remove both of these guys, I'm not sure. I know for sure the Thunder don't make the playoffs if Russell Westbrook isn't on that team. And I'm not so sure that the Rockets make the playoffs without James Harden. They might squeeze into the 8 seed.
I don't disagree with you.
But it's very possible that they maybe are a 9, right? They fit. So at the end of the day, though, 2 years ago, James Harden lost this because Steph Curry had a better record. Mm-hmm. And I don't care that he averaged a triple-double. James Harden was 1.2 rebounds away from averaging a triple-double himself at a guard position. I'm going James Harden because I think at the end of the day, what it comes down to, just like 2 years ago, he's on the better team with a better record.
I think for a lot of the same reasons, I think you could find a stat either way for either guy if you knew who you wanted to support. I wanted people from the get-go to just say, hey, look, tip your cap to both guys. This has been one hell of a race. Don't hate on the other one just because you want one of them to win. And just realize that at the end of the day, first of all, the only thing that swayed me from picking James Harden was the fact that Daryl Morey was tweeting to support James Harden.
That's
and it annoyed the hell out of me because Sam Presti never sent a tweet. You know, and R.C. Buford in San Antonio never made a press release statement that said, you know, this is why. And it's also because Daryl 2 years ago was saying wins don't matter. Now they do. But all that being said, James Harden to me, because of the fact that he took a team that we all thought was going to be fighting for the, you know, 6, 7, 8 or hanging in that category, and a new system at a new position, and because of the wins, I'm going to say James Harden.
Okay, so we all agree it's James Harden.
Yep.
Now is that who you would have given it to, or who you think will win it?
No, I think Westbrook wins it hands down.
That I agree with that as
Me
well.
Too.
I would give it to Harden. I think Westbrook's going to win.
Yeah,
and Nick, you?
I think Westbrook is going to win. The national media has done their job, and they've basically handed the MVP trophy to him, in my opinion.
And I've mentioned it before, and it's worth repeating. The local guys who cover the broadcasters for the teams always got a vote. They took it away from them this year and made it just about national voters. National voters, all they see and hear about is the hype of Westbrook. That's why he'll win the award.
Hey, real quick, Josh Rapp is asking, is there any barbecue left? Hell yes. Get on down here. There's about 18 sausages for you to eat on, Josh. All right. That came out weird.
Unless anybody hit any, we've got plenty of sausage. We still haven't figured out how to give away the gift basket yet, so we'll start working that out as well. Someone is randomly fighting through the beer.
Yeah, I was going to say, what we may run out of is beer. We've got about five alcoholics lined up. Just look, he's got three beers. Sir, you have an issue. I think we're about to have our first intervention live on the air.
He's about to get behind the wheel.
He is.
All right. So we are not responsible for anybody that consumes any beverages and then takes off. If you want to stick with us till 4 o'clock, we're going to be here till at least then. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So the Stros back on the road again.
Yeah.
Back in business against the Oakland A's. We did a little bit of a breakdown for you the other day in the fact that they have not fared well against left-handed pitching so far to this point in the season. Thankfully, they're going to face two of the next three against Oakland right-handed starting pitchers. At least they got that going for them, which is nice.
Indeed. Indeed.
A late-night game, but at least they're back on the tube, so we got something to watch.
Yeah, there was really no kind of good sports to watch last night, was
nothing.
There? No basketball playoffs. I think there was one game on the MLB Network that I could get, which I think is a load of crap.
Okay.
That when you get your cable package, whether it's whatever, UVerse, Comcast, Xfinity, whatever you have, DirecTV, Dish, I don't know, whatever. But I get all of these sports channels, and they even have a sports package that you get where you get like
package.
All the Fox Sports Southwests, all of the Root Sports, all of the Yes Network and all that. But you can't watch any of the games on those. So why the hell do I have the package to begin with? Do you think I care about watching, the Seattle post-game show when
Absolutely.
They played the A's? No. No one wants to see that. I would get those for the games, yet they're all blacked out. So they're forcing you to get the MLB
but
package.
But yet the Rangers aren't.
Or the MLB. Well, I think it's territorial. So the Rangers aren't because they're the closest thing, right? So you can watch a Rangers
but
game.
But are the Rangers blacked out when the Astros are playing?
No. You can watch it on either the Fox Sports Southwest for the Rangers or Root Sports for the Astros. So,
see, and I think that would be the biggest problem I'd have, and that's what the NBA does. The NBA is territorial to say within 75 miles of your home territory, which is, and some people say, well, I used to have to deal with this at the Rockets, and they'd say, well, where do you measure the 75 from? Because
yeah,
from the post office downtown versus, yeah. But the NBA is real, real territorial, and that's where baseball isn't. And allows – see, the NBA would never let a Spurs game or a Mavs game to be shown in town here on
really?
Fox Sports Southwest.
Yeah. Well, I guess, too, though, I get that because what I'm told or what someone – is because of the advertising.
Yes.
So they want you to be able to go to the local advertisers only. So it doesn't make sense if I'm watching ads in Seattle because I wanted to watch the – the Mariners and the A's play was the example I used. I'm not going to go buy anything from a local store in Seattle.
Right.
But – the fact of the matter is, why would I pay for the package then? I think it's included in the one that I have now. I have like the UVerse 450 or whatever. So I think it's included with it. But I would love to exclude it if I can't watch the games. I'd rather just exclude it and use that money to pay for the MLB Network.
And they really got to work to black it out because it's crazy. Like if MLB Network is showing Astros and A's tonight, that's blacked out in Houston. So that you have to watch, whereas opposed to the Rockets, if they're on ESPN and on Root, they'll show both broadcasts.
Yeah.
So it's different leagues have different rules, different strokes for different folks, but I don't agree with any of it. I'm with you. I bought the sports package on DirecTV, and it is kind of a bummer that you can't get
more
games.
It's stupid. Joey wanted us to make them do a Saturday Night Fever dance-off. What we did is rock, paper, scissors, and Jonathan won the basket.
Yep.
So the basket has been won. I certainly hope they didn't want video like you – thought that they might, but if they did, oh well. we just needed to give it away.
Consolation prize is a weekend at Bernie's. Just won a full jar of rub from Rudy's Barbecue, and literally the minute he got it in his hands, he walked out.
I like that you called him Weekend at Bernie's, and no one knows what this dude is. Everyone's like, what does that mean?
Yeah, see,
some people, but you're here. There's millions of people. All right, there's tens of people listening right now, and no one knows what this guy looked
like. Weekend at Bernie's.
I'm saying what the guy looked like, though. You can't do a looks joke on the radio.
With the sunglasses and the shorts and everything like that. See, some people got
it. But I'm saying it doesn't translate to our listen. We don't care about these people here. You like that? Look, you like how I'm making friends with the guys that show up?
He just went like 80 miles an hour to the parking lot. He's excited. Although we need to –
And Tosh wanted them to drink.
If he's listening on the way home, we need to explain to him that rub is not what you think it is, my friend. It is not for the usage that I think he's speeding home to get out of the package.
So you can't – you don't put it on your sausage?
You do, but – Okay. Yeah, it could be painful.
You know, I feel really cheap for making another sausage joke.
You feel like
as a comedian, I should have more respect for myself. And try to keep it, you know, high level. I got down there in the weeds with Salisbury, and I feel cheap now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, he was giving himself his own nicknames now.
What is he? What was it?
Yeah, it was because his real first name is, I believe, Richard.
Uh-huh.
So he was D-Sean or...
Arshon.
Or Arshon.
I heard that. I heard
and
that.
Then he was Dick-Sean. And then I said he should be – when he had a tough word, he was, you can pull it from the Dick Sean area.
Nick's like, yo, bro, you're
well, – is that not true, Nick? That's what he was talking about. I even said it to him in the break. I said, you can go to the dictionary, and he liked that one.
All right. This segment's about to be 50% dumped.
Nick, is that going out, or is that just you in our ear?
No, that was over the air.
Oh, thank you.
The first time.
I love that Joel's Granato getting chastised.
And Sean, yeah, Granato and Sean, homie, were worse than that for an hour talking about it.
They just kept going.
Because, yeah, and Sean was able to say that because it legitimately is his first name on his driver's license, that he really wasn't saying what it sounded like he was saying.
He wasn't saying, yeah, he wasn't saying the organ. He was saying his name.
Richard,
He says his nickname is Dick.
Yeah.
Richard.
You better be careful, homie.
Be careful, son.
Do that again. You do that again, and Nick's going to be playing Space Invaders with that button. I'm just telling you. All right, so Astros, who's on the hill tonight?
Good question. Keuchel? Tonight it is
Keuchel?
Graveman and Keuchel, yeah. Okay.
All right, so let's
Graveman
see.
Graveman at 2-0, Keuchel at 1-0.
See if Stroh's
10:05 start. Is that?
That's Eastern.
Okay. I was about to say,
9:05
what?
Houston time.
Yeah.
Still hard to watch the whole game.
Yeah.
Especially if they get down 5-0 in the third inning. It's easy to turn it off. So we'll see. So hopefully that the Astros get another win. Big weekend there. They're in Oakland, and then they come back, I think, to take on the Angels. But we've got 2 hours of this show in the books with 1 hour to go and plenty more show. Josh Rapp is here, which means the party can now begin. Therefore, if you want to talk baseball, Josh Rapp will be on a side table talking down rotisserie baseball, fantasy baseball, and the Masters. If you also want to get in on the archery challenge to see if there will be in the majors this year the camouflage vest given away for the first time in the archery championships, Barry will have the odds for you on that. But we have plenty more show to get to. The Usual Suspects coming to you live from Trailer, Wheel, and Frame, I-45 North, the Canino exit, right here in the heart of outside downtown Houston, Texas, on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.